Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Get 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then get one-pound packages of flavorful 80% lean Angus ground beef chuck for $3.99 each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Thank you for tuning in to the Sports Ethos Nets podcast. This is your temporary host, Joe. I am joined once again by Anthony Dittmar on Twitter. That is at Anthony Dittmar _. And we are also joined by Cody, but he is driving. So we don't know if he's going to go in and out. But Cody, obviously, you know, he is our usual host. On Twitter, he is at Real Cody Mallory. Guys, we got a lot of Nets news going on. Today specifically, and of course, over the last week and a half or so, ever since the first day of the draft day was when Kevin Durant, I'm incorrect. Free agency day, 3 hours before free agency officially started, that's when Kevin Durant requested out. Got a few updates today. A lot of stuff going on, but before we get into all that, Anthony, how are you? Cody, how are you?
I'm doing pretty well. That's been in the news like the last few, like I said. I think all of free agency, well, not all of it, but a big chunk of it's frozen right now, waiting on the Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving stuff to settle down. But like we'll get into after, who knows when that's going to be. So it's kind of funny how like the whole league's kind of like frozen a bit besides minor signings. So it's kind of funny that everyone's stopping because of us.
Yeah, it is funny.
Yeah. There's really never a slow day when it comes to the Brooklyn Nets. We had that maybe like 2 or 3 week gap after they got swept where it was pretty quiet. And now, like you said, it's just been rumor after rumor after rumor. We finally got some signings today. Like Joe, you said, plenty to talk about in this episode.
Yes. And we'll get right into it. We'll get into the rumors a little later. But I think the biggest story about everything going on is the Nets are still filling out a roster as if they would like to continue to compete. And they're getting pieces that would be complementary to the roster we have as currently constructed. Today, the Nets signed TJ Warren to a minimum contract, and we signed Edmund Sumner. Now, to some Nets fans, the name Edmund Sumner may sound a little familiar because we actually traded for him in the salary dump of Sekou Doumbouya last year. And we ended up cutting him immediately because he had a torn Achilles. So Sean Marks, we know he has a history of going back to get his guys. So he went and he did that once again by bringing in Edmund Sumner today. Both Edmund Sumner hasn't played in over a year. And TJ Warren's played 4 games in the last 2 years with some like foot tendon issues. But I think we all know that TJ Warren, when he is healthy, the guy like averages like 20 points a game, almost 20 points a game. And he's a very efficient scorer and could do it at all three levels. He's a plus defender. I mean, at least he's shown in the past, but I don't know about you guys, but I really like the signing of TJ Warren, especially if we're going to keep trying to continue to compete.
Yeah. The problem last year in the playoffs we talked about was like not having wing size. Like when we had to run the 3-midget lineups when we were playing the Celtics, it was kind of interesting seeing like guys just shoot right over us. And like, think about it, like you said, if they bring back this roster, let's say they do run it back, blah blah blah, you have bigger wing size. Now. You have Joe Harris and Ben Simmons coming back. You have TJ Warren as a big wing. You brought in Royce O'Neal in the trade last week. Yeah. Sumner that Lee has some size to him. Like, you have guys that can defend the wings. And like we all said, Kevin Durant even said himself, it is a wing-driven lead. And we saw TJ Warren in the bubble. Like, obviously, that's a very, very, very small sample size. But we've seen him even, like, all the course of his NBA career. He's such an efficient guy. Like, I don't think he's a 30 to 40 minute per game type of guy. 15, 20 minutes a game for backup wing minutes, like, I'm not opposed to it at all. He can stay healthy.
Yeah, backup wing minutes with his level of scoring prowess is a very good addition, especially for a minimum.
Yeah. I think it's a low risk, high reward type of deal. Like we said, he's on a minimum deal. So if it doesn't work out or he gets hurt, like, what are we losing out? We're not giving this guy the mid-level exception. We're not giving this guy a multi-year contract. I think it makes sense. And it's like, let's say they do come back. It's a good signing. And if they don't, at least like maybe you're taking a risk and this guy ends up being like a part of your future you build around. And some,
yeah.
I'm not saying he's a cornerstone, but.
Yeah, but he could definitely be a huge piece on a team with Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant, or just say, for example, like those guys. But he's definitely a big piece, and especially on a minimum contract, why don't you take that risk?
I totally agree. Yeah, I think it's definitely makes sense to the Nets. A lot of people are like speculating today that you don't make these kind of the Nets aren't making any moves because of the Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving. So like usually when guys make moves like this, like it maybe it's signaling something. I just personally think it's the Nets hedging. Like you don't want to like be left with like nothing in free agency. It's been like 5 days. Yeah. Finding, so I think it was just smart to do it regardless. Like, it was just another move to make. You had some guys leave, you needed some empty roster spots. I think you had like 6 or 7 guys walk out the door this year, right? You have Blake, LaMarcus, Drummond,
Dragic, and Bruce.
5 right there, yeah. Like 5, 6 guys. Like, you had to fill some roster spots. So it made sense.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, part of it may have been because Sean Marks' phone probably has not stopped ringing ever since 3 hours before free agency. So when KD requested out, I assumed Shyam said today that every single team has called the Nets about Kevin Durant. Man, so
if you're any team in the NBA, why would you not inquire?
Like, exactly. You have to at least check in.
Like Kevin Durant, Giannis, Steph, like those are guys, no matter what situation you're in, those guys can alter your franchise. Do you put Kevin Durant on any team in the NBA? I think it's a very good chance to make the playoffs. Like even if you put him on the Orlando Magic, I wouldn't say they'd be a title contender. But they'd be in at least in the play-in that time.
Well, yeah. I mean, especially now 10 teams are getting into the playoffs technically at this point. So it's like any team with a true star will make the playoffs as long as their star is healthy.
Totally right.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Get 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then get 1-pound packages of flavorful 80% lean Angus ground beef chuck for $3.99 each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I mean, I agree with you. I think TJ Warren was an absolute home run. I know he was rumored before like to have interest in the Nets, and then kind of the Kevin Durant stuff went down, the Kyrie Irving stuff. And there was reports that he was waiting to see kind of what happened to the top end of the roster. But I think if I'm TJ Warren, like, he probably realized that no matter what happens with the Nets, whether they trade Durant and Irving, if they do, then he's going to have an ample opportunity to prove himself, get himself a contract, show he can still play, maybe stick around with the Nets, kind of build a future like you guys are talking about. And if they keep Durant and Irving, then he fits perfectly with what the Nets need. Some more size, he can still shoot, he can still score. Even like, I know this is kind of jumping ahead, but you pair him with kind of like a Scotty Barnes. I mean, that's two good wings that have a lot of potential, in my opinion. I know CJ Warren's 29, but we saw him score 20 points a game on over 50% shooting the last time he was healthy. So, absolute home run. And, I mean, it just really, it makes me think, like, Kevin Durant, your best chance to win is with this Nets roster. Like,
absolutely.
We don't know all the bullshit that happened with the front office. Sean Marks, Joe Tsai, Steve Nash, they all got beef, apparently. They fired KD's boy, Adam Harrington. They cut Kyrie's boy because he wasn't vaccinated. So, like, stuff has been happening kind of behind the scenes. So I understand there's definitely some tension there. They have not agreed. We see Joe Tsai liking tweets on Twitter about getting the culture back. And I guess Steve Nash, like, is part of a business owner with Joe Tsai or something. So, like, there's a lot of shit going on behind the scenes. But for, like, a pure basketball standpoint of them winning, I don't see a better scenario for Kevin Durant to try to win a championship this year.
Yep, and I couldn't agree more. So, all right, now that we're talking about this, we'll go into the quotes that we got from Shams Charania on his appearance on the Pat McAfee show today. He started off by talking about the Nets signings, and he said that the Nets are making moves in preparation as if they're bringing Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving back next season. And, I mean, yeah, that's basically what we've been talking about so far throughout the episode. I mean, like we said, all these moves that they're making, trading for Royce O'Neal, signing a guy like TJ Warren on a minimum, and even a guy like Emin Sumner, who could play solid defense and is like a 6'6 kind of swing 2-3 guard. I mean, they're making the moves to continue to contend. He went on to talk about the possibility of them trading Kyrie and KD. He said, Brooklyn is open in trade conversations as we speak, but they are willing to hold off until they get exactly what they want. And every team has called the Nets about Kevin Durant. So, like we said before, every team has interest in Kevin Durant, and how can you not? And for that reason, it makes sense why Sean Marks and Joe Tsai and Steve Nash and everybody involved they'll wait. If KD really does want out, then you wait until any team that you want to deal with will cough up every asset that you want to get Kevin Durant off of your team.
Yeah, based on that Shams interview, like I don't know if you want to go fully into it, but just what I'm reading, I think what I personally think is happening is the Nets don't have any incentive to force a bad trade for Kevin Durant, because let's say you even force him to run it back. I don't think Kevin Durant sits out like Ben Simmons did. And if you do, Houston has your swap next. You're not losing your first. So even if you bring back this core, I still think this core at worst finishes as a lottery team. I think that'd still be better than Houston. So, what are you really missing out on? Your package and haul for KD, he comes back is a little bit less because it's a year later, blah, blah, blah. But, in reality, the Nets don't have any pressure to do this right now. I know Kyrie Irving's, we rumored the Nets don't want him anymore, but he's never requested a trade, officially. Probably it has one foot out the door. But if you bring everybody back next year, I don't think you're getting a good return for Kyrie anyway. So, if you're not getting a good return for Kyrie anyway, and Kevin Durant is you're not getting a good offer for him, what's the worst that can happen if you just say, hey, put it together this 1 year. If you can't do it, it doesn't work out. We can't amend relationships. We promise you we'll trade you next year. I don't see why the Nets wouldn't do that if you're getting is scraps back. So I keep seeing Raptors people that they don't want to include Barnes. Suns fans are just offering Bridges and Ayton. The Heat want to give up Lowry and Duncan Robinson, or Tyler Hero. They're all terrible trades. Unless you're getting me Donovan Mitchell, OG Anunoby, and Scottie Barnes, I don't want to trade him. That's how I see it. I don't know about you.
No, I'm absolutely in the same boat there. I mean, that trade has been floated around with the three-team deal or three-plus-team deal, because we would also have to ship Ben Simmons off somewhere. And I don't think because in order to get Donovan Mitchell, we would have to send Ben somewhere else. But when you look at it, that's honestly one of the best packages that you could really think of. You get a young guy who was the fourth overall pick and the rookie of the year. You get Donovan Mitchell, who's already a bona fide star. You get OG Anunoby, who's also another very, very talented player. And then obviously there would be other guys thrown in there too, a Gary Trent or something like that. And KD would end up in Toronto, and we would probably ship Ben Simmons over to Utah with picks as well.
Kyrie from Miles Turner or something, a three-teamer. I don't know. Something separate with that. That's how I see it. I don't know. I think that's the best chance. I don't think building around Ben as the one, if you're not getting a Mitchell or Scottie back, really makes a lot of sense. I think we could all fairly say Ben Simmons at best is a 3 in a championship team. We thought he was a 2. I don't know if he's a 2. Maybe he's a 2.5.
Yeah.
That's a lot. I don't know. It's a lot to decompress because a lot of moving pieces and variables with this. Because, like, is Utah really, really trying to move Donovan Mitchell? Are the Nets willing to do that? Are the Raptors want to put guys in? Because the way I see right now is KD wants Phoenix. I think he next wants Miami. And I think the Toronto leaks are coming from Marks because they have the best package to offer the Nets. That's how I think going down right now. And I think the Raptors are trying to push KD to being open to the idea. Because I don't know if KD's open to living in Canada. I don't know what his deal is. Like, I don't think he had him on his list, but they may have the best one-for-one package, what was said today on ESPN NBA Today. So maybe
they're trying
to, like, force to be like, hey, we don't have – Phoenix is not giving us what we want. Miami's not giving us what we want. Like, this might be your best chance. Like, you'll have Siakam, Fred VanVleet. I'm sure you'll get some ring chasers. I don't know. I saw that Thaddeus Young today signs an extension and wasn't a new signing. So, it means he's eligible to be traded. It's, like, a perfect, like, throw-in salary. So, I don't know, like, that was something to do with it. Like, I know, like, people were speculating there's a reason why it was an extension and not a free agency signing. So, I think you have to wait December to be traded, I think, if you're
– Yeah, it's, like, 60 – it's either, like, 60 or 90 days after you're signed to, like, a free agency contract, you can't be traded.
I think a lot of guys last year, December 15th was a trigger date for guys to be traded.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's sticking out last year when we were talking about stuff.
Yeah. So, and then also – like you were just saying about how, like, the Suns only want to offer Bridges and Ayton, or the fans are saying that. Another thing we got over here with quotes from Shams Charania said, well, Pat had asked Shams, where does he think Kevin Durant's going to play it next year? And he said, Kevin Durant wants to end up in Phoenix. How that would come about is a mystery to me because the Nets don't have any one-to-one interest in DeAndre Ayton. And plus, on top of that, you also have to take into accountability that the hard cap would go into effect if we trade for DeAndre Ayton. So, I mean, I don't really think it's worth it. So, KD, yeah, you want Phoenix, but you also don't have a no-trade clause, bud. So, whoever offers us the best package and is willing to part with the assets necessary to get you on their team, that's where you're going to go. And, I mean, like
– one question for you.
Go ahead.
Rather – if you had these options to right now, let's say I don't think there's a world where we take a bad package. So let's say that's off the table. Run it back package. You have the guy sold them. Let's run it back. Like, I don't know if you're familiar with Aaron Rodgers, Davante Adams. Like,
Yeah. I was just about to say, it feels like such a very similar situation, like what you were saying before about, like, okay, if, like, we can't make everything work this year, then we will trade you next offseason.
So, yeah, that pretty much leads me to that. Like, would you rather have that kind of scenario? Because right now, the Nets on paper, I don't know, they're the best team in the East. There's no doubt they have a top three roster in the East.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, maybe Celtics, Bucks, Nets, and anywhere you want to put them. So you have that. That's one of your options. The two is the trade package we just talked about. Which one of those you'd rather have? Because I just want to put this point in. Obviously, of all the scenarios considered, I think you'd rather have Kevin Durant on your team because that's your best chance to actually win a championship. The Mitchell, OG, Scottie thing was more of like a long-term thing. Like, you have a core from, let's say, 5 to 7 years that you can build around, add to, for a chance to be as good as the roster is now. Not a guarantee. You have young guys and you hope they pan out. You hope the core works. But you see in situations like Denver, like Utah with the Mitchell and Gobert, like, you may have great teams on paper, but it just never gets you over the hump. So, like, there's no guarantee. So, would you rather have the option A or option B in that scenario?
See, it's so weird because, like, me and you sitting right here, we know that, like, we've been through the whole up-and-coming team situation. And we've also been the team that's had nothing. And now we've also been the team that has the most notable stars on one squad in the entire league.
But all three of them, man.
Yeah. We've been through all of the ups and downs being Nets fans. But honestly, right now, at this point, it's like, I would rather trade both of them. Or really all three of them. That would be the necessary move to trade Ben, KD, and Kyrie.
What if it's option A, the situation is amended, and there's like a world where this continues? Like, and things go back.
I mean, if there was a world where everything is amended and, like, there's no, like, we know for sure, like, Kyrie is going to be available and play long term in Brooklyn. It's like, I don't know. Like, KD, like, Kyrie only, I feel like now that, like, Shams also said today that, like, he knew that there was still a chance that KD was going to request out if he accepted his option and just said, I will stay in Brooklyn for another year. So he knew that was a possibility. So at the same time, it's like, okay, now Kyrie's just obviously accepting the option because he wanted the money, which obviously who wouldn't? I can't blame him for that whatsoever. But when you look at long term, it's like, if it doesn't work, Kyrie Irving walks for nothing, then we have to trade Kevin Durant. And then we're just, and then at the same, now we're just trying to build around Ben Simmons. It's like, I would rather trade all three of them now and get supplementary pieces back and end up with, say, a group of a Donovan Mitchell and a Scottie Barnes and some other things that we could put around them and build for the future with now a giant pool of draft picks back, even though they're not ours, to really just try to retool the entire team and get, like we were saying, the culture back. I feel like I would rather take the risk on trading everything and just getting the whole drama filled situation over with and go back to watching fun Nets basketball.
Yeah, it's tough. Like,
it really is tough, man. It is.
There's a part of me still wants to believe there's a chance that, like, it could happen. There's a chance that they can run it back. You force them to do it. At this point, I really do think it's just leverage from the Nets trying to get the trade that they want and force KD into a team that he may not have had on his list. Like you said, if that Mitchell, I was listening to The Fan. I don't know if you've ever listened to it, but Evan Roberts is like a Nets fan. And he was saying, like, I'm so far removed from this. Like, yeah, I'd love to run it back and see if we can win it all. But he's like, if there's a trade on the table, like you said, like that package, I don't know how I say no to it. Because that's probably, you're not getting that package next year.
Like, yeah, because it's 1 year less on his deal. He's a year older. You got to think, if we're trying to trade KD, like, exactly, this is the prime year for you to do it. He's 34 right now. You ship him off. You get back all these young assets. If you're trading for Donovan Mitchell and Scottie Barnes, you're getting two stars under the age of 25.
Yeah, I don't know. And Scottie's on a rookie deal, so you can, like, have, like,
flexibility. Yeah, and you still have flexibility. And then you, that basically gives you Scottie just one rookie of the year. He's on a 4-year rookie deal scale. You trade for him this year. You bring Donovan, say you bring Donovan Mitchell here with him in, like, some sort of that, like, 3-team deal or whatever. And then at that point, you're just like, all you have to worry about is, okay, we got to find a way to acquire another max contract level star within the next 3 years. And at that point, somebody's going to want to play with Donovan Mitchell when Donovan Mitchell is getting up towards, like, 27. That's going to be, like, when he's at his best. Like, when he's at that age of around 27, that's when he'll be. And that's when, yeah. And, like at that point, so you'll have Donovan Mitchell on his max contract, and you would have just have to acquire another star by that point, whether that's a homegrown star or that's another trade that you end up pulling off at some point.
You would have OG and Anunoby under contract at 17, 18, 19 through 24, 25. You have Mitchell at 30, 32, 34, 37 through 25, 26. And then you'd have Scottie Barnes' rookie deal for 3 more years. So this core would have 3 years together. And if, like,
yes. You know, and then at that point, OG and Anunoby could also be flipped. Yeah.
Yeah.
I completely understand what you're saying. And then, like, and then if you have the ability to acquire that star, then going into the offseason when Scottie Barnes is able to get to his max extension, then now you have three max players, superstars again, but they're homegrown and they all had time to play together and develop together and really get this chemistry. Not like how we had Kyrie Irving, Kevin Durant, and James Harden basically all just plop together here.
I agree. People, the knock on Mitchell is he can't win by himself. Well, his number two is Rudy Gobert. I love Rudy Gobert. Actually, I don't love Rudy Gobert. But Rudy Gobert is great, a good defender. He's not a number two star, like, no matter which way you put it, just the way the league is, this player isn't. I've never seen Mitchell with a solid two, whether that be Scottie Barnes. Maybe we realize Scottie Barnes is a two, and then we have to only trade for a three. Like, that's much easier to find than it would be. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Scottie Barnes is also a big factor here. And then whatever amount of picks you get back. I don't know how many picks we take back if we're getting all three of those guys back, because that's, like, a lot of, like, good players. I don't think you'd be getting seven picks back. If you're getting at least, like, two, it's, like, something. And you have the Philly pick. You have a couple other picks you made. Like, you can get a little crazy.
Yeah, and I mean, honestly, if we're getting back Scottie Barnes and Donovan Mitchell in a trade, I'm fine with taking, like, three first-round picks.
Yeah.
Instead of the eight that a one-on-one trade with Kevin Durant would command, you know? Like, it just makes perfect sense. And I think if you're in Toronto's shoes, you would rather try to work with – you'd rather try to work that three-team deal and give up Scottie Barnes, just because in that case, you still have Kevin Durant, Fred VanVleet, and Pascal Siakam, along with other pieces that you'll end up bringing in. Because people will want to play with that core of guys.
Yeah, we've seen Masai make that type of trade before.
Mm-hmm.
So, hold on. I'm putting into the trade machine right now. So that OG and Scottie for KD doesn't get you there. I saw either Trent or Thad.
Gary Trent.
You there or no?
What happened?
Dang. So the Thaddeus Young doesn't get you there. Or does that have to be? It has to be Gary Trent, I think. It's still
we fit. Could also send some south.
But you're back. 33 out. So you still have to add more for KD. Who else do you have to add? Oh, wait, I forgot to put OG in this. Let's see if it OG, Gary Trent, and Scotty for KD. That's successful. Fred, OG, Thaddeus Young, and Scotty.
Now, if you make that a three-team, you send Ben Simmons to Utah, you send Donovan Mitchell here, and maybe if you want, you could send either Joe Harris or Gary Trent to Utah.
Yeah, you don't need to add Thaddeus for that to work either. You could just do Gary, OG, and Scotty for it to work.
Yeah, so financially, it all makes sense. Yeah, and I mean, I think in terms of like, if the Jazz really do want to go full reset, getting rid of Donovan Mitchell and having Ben Simmons as a young piece to build around over there is fine.
Or you flip the Jazz.
Or you could flip him for another thing.
What does Donovan Mitchell for Ben Simmons work one for one? I'm just curious.
I don't know. They both got maxes around the same time, so it should.
Damn.
Does it?
It does work one for one.
See? But I mean, I'm sure Utah would be getting more back as
100%.
Either picks or just other complimentary players. But it's stuff you can work with. And it really is a very logical trade for all three sides, just looking at the position that all three teams are in. Yeah. So I mean, it could work if all three GMs decide to work together. But then, like we said, there's also apparently there's a solid chance that we just run it back. I mean, I don't think anybody can be really mad with us keeping Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant and running it back with a newly retooled roster, which even despite all the drama that's been going on this offseason, it seems like Sean Marks is doing a pretty solid job.
Yeah. All things considered, I think the terrible scenario here is the Nets just getting a bad return for KD, and I don't think that's on the table. So I think either way, it's like not like a great ending, but it's not like a catastrophic ending where you're not getting anything back because like KD is going to give you a good return. So the Nets should I trust Sean Marks enough to at least make the right trade in this scenario where he's not getting fleeced for this. There's possibilities still. So I don't know if this can even happen this week or next week. I know they mentioned
said it could drag all the way until training camp, and that's probably what's going to suck the most if it does drag out for an extremely long time because the rest of the league is basically in a stranglehold because it's like you don't know what if and when you're going to be ruled out of a potential big piece of like this trade. Because like we said, I mean, even if like you're not getting KD in the trade, there's enough solid assets flying around throughout this multi-team deal that like you can jump in and help somehow and improve your team.
Well, they also said that a lot of GMs were getting together in Vegas this week for Summer League. So maybe like it helps negotiations because you're like in person together. So never know.
Yeah. That. I mean, and I mean, for what it's worth, I know Sean Marks has been at Summer League every single year. So like, cause he's always there. And Sean Marks really, he's always everywhere when it comes to Nets stuff. That guy, I think every single Nets game I've been to, that guy's just been standing in the tunnel watching the game or finding a seat over in like the bench area. But Sean Marks is very involved and he's always on the lookout. He's always looking for ways to improve. And I know a lot of Nets fans aren't too thrilled with him right now, just based on the whole situation, but it's obviously not only on him because every decision he makes, he has to clear with Joe Tsai. He has to get Steve Nash's intel. He's got to get everybody's intel on it. So it's not just him single-handedly making decisions and just screwing the team over. So, and I'm sure that isn't his intention because right now, if Sean Marks were to end up getting fired as Brooklyn Nets GM, I don't know if he gets another GM job after fumbling three stars in a matter of 6 months, potentially.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know how much is him, how much is Joe Tsai. I'm sure we'll get leads.
Yeah.
Job is over. I hear people give Joe Tsai credit for signing KD and Kyrie because just so people have their calendars correct, they signed in June 2019. Joe Tsai bought the team in August, so he wasn't even here when that happened. Like, so I don't want to give any credit to Joe Tsai for what's happened with the Nets getting these stars. He did not do any of it. He bought the team afterwards. Maybe he saw those signings and was like, oh, now we have something good here. I'm going to buy this team. Like, I don't want to give any credit for that because he didn't do it. So yep. I'll put that out there. Some people got their little timelines a little messed up.
Yeah, and I mean, Sean Marks is the GM who went out and negotiated and built the team from literally scrap metal to fucking diamonds. Like he, Sean Marks single-handedly built this team up to put us into the position to acquire stars. And I feel like he's getting a little too much blame because it's not just him. It really isn't.
I just have to see what comes out later on because for who knows, we don't even know what happens. But yeah, there's a lot of fishy stuff going on. And I think I'd be quicker to put the finger at Joe Desai as well. But I don't know if Sean Marks is seeing him, but like you said, he does have more credibility than the owner for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. He 1,000% should not be the only one getting blamed here. And like, even with all, like we said, even with all of the drama going on, he's still finding a way to improve the team. We do have to address that Bruce Brown, left. He signed with Denver, but he also said that Brooklyn didn't even make him an offer. So that's definitely something that we should kind of address because Bruce Brown was, for the majority of the second half of the season, our third best player.
Yep, he definitely was. I don't know why the Nets didn't offer him. Maybe they were valuing size more. Maybe they're trying to save on Joe Desai's luxury bill. I don't know. I think not making contact at all was stupid because if he was there to be had for that cheap, I think that was kind of a bargain. I don't think his market was nearly as big as anybody thought it was. He had a hot ending to the season, but he was undersized and not really the best shooter. So I think that's why he settled for 2-for-13. I think at 2-for-13, the Nets should easily brought him back. I don't see why they wouldn't have. Yours laying in.
I mean, we ended up restructuring Patty Mills' contract to give him more money after he was terrible down the stretch. And we let our guy, the guy who basically carried us outside of the stars the second half of the year, just walk for less money than we gave Patty Mills.
Yeah, that didn't make sense to me. Hopefully that works out for everyone. I love my man Bruce. He'll be rocking it with Uncle Jeff. So maybe we'll have some nugget love throughout the year because he got
two. Oh, we're going to have a lot of nugget love throughout the year. That's for sure.
I don't know. I guess I didn't think people were saying Bruce needed $18 million a year. He even get 18 for two. So I don't think that high, but like for that little, then that should have at least inquired.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, is there anything else that we got to address before we head out?
Winner in the year in some EuroLeague.
What's up?
Dejan, what do you say? Musa hit a game winner in the EuroLeague.
Oh, fucking fantastic. Good for him. Yeah, the guy that was done. Oh my god. But yeah, I believe that's it. Just came out. Woj was just on ESPN. He said the Raptors still represent the least complicated trade option for Brooklyn and are staying involved with KD conversation, but the Nets are still remain in no rush. The final thing, I almost forgot about this. Shams also said today that there is no traction whatsoever on a Kyrie Irving to the Lakers deal. And this comes after a couple days ago, Chris Haynes of like Yahoo Sports and TNT reported that the Nets and the Lakers are engaged on a potential contract and it could be done within the coming days. And this happened on Sunday. We are recording this on Tuesday night. So Chris Haynes surely seems to be getting some false information and Shams basically shot that down today. So as of right now, Kyrie Irving, there's no reason to believe he's going to be on the Lakers. Personally, I saw that the Mavericks were interested. I don't know about you, Anthony, but I think one of the best potential deals we could maybe try to pull off for Kyrie Irving is sending him to Dallas and taking back, say, we bring back Spencer Dinwiddie and a guy like Dorian Finney-Smith.
I would love that. That is probably the best trade. I think the Laker package is appealing to me. I don't think there's real interest from Miami. So, yeah, I think that is the best package.
Like that would be, I mean, even if we can take back like Spencer Dinwiddie and we take back even like Maxi Kleber, that would also be a good deal. But I really like Dorian Finney-Smith and you know that I like Spencer Dinwiddie as well.
Would he be pissed?
He would because he loves Kyrie. But hey, I mean, there's going to be a lot of options. And I mean, the Kyrie Irving trade situation is definitely the one that's like the most up in the air in terms of what we can get for a return. I feel like personally a trade that like I even just mentioned, even though that's the best one, I don't see that happening still. But at the end of the day, it's really what you can get for Kyrie Irving. Because if they're going to trade him, he's not going to come back after next offseason anyway, most likely.
Yeah, unless Joe decides all the team.
Yeah. unreal situation that we found ourselves in, but I think that that'll do it from us. Cody had to drop out a little early because he was driving. This has been the Sports Ethos Nets podcast with Joe and Anthony and a little bit of Cody. The Nets are all over the place. We will keep you guys updated. Make sure to follow us on Twitter, like, subscribe, tweet us, leave us questions, DM us, and we'll catch you guys next week.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 Dream Beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.